if we take a step back, why does it even matter? Why should we care about signals? And I think it boils down to our diminishing attention. We have very little attention, which is just getting shorter and shorter. And so marketers have less opportunities to capture that attention. And we need to use and we need to leverage every possible signal at our disposal. Otherwise, we're just wasting really valuable insight there.
This is Revenue Makers, the podcast by Sixth Sense, investigating successful revenue strategies that pushed companies ahead. Hey, everybody. It's been a couple of weeks since we've had a new episode, so welcome back. Before we dive in, just a little bit of an announcement. Saima has moved on from Sixth Sense, crushing my soul, and is no longer going to be a co-host on Revenue Makers. So for a while, at least, you are stuck just with me. I apologize in advance for anything that's just bad that happens, but hopefully nothing too bad. But with that, we have a great episode this week. We have Avishai Sharan from, he's the CEO actually of Trendyman, who's they're a website personalization and analytics, a number of different things on their platform. And what we're talking about is the death of the website, not so much. If you're on LinkedIn, you're talking about, you know, websites are dead. We have to cater to the AI and no one's coming to your website anymore. Not true at all. You know, if you look at the data, there's still plenty of website traffic. What we dive into today is really how do you create a customized journey? Again, you've probably heard a lot about website personalization, probably doing it yourself, but this goes deeper, talking about journey level personalization, journey level activity, and the signals that you can gather from your website that you may not realize are there or you may not be capturing now, and what you can do to really create an experience for every prospect and every buyer that's based on what you know about them. And one of the really interesting things that we get into is how you should show up for LLM visitors, meaning they've done research on your company, they've learned a lot, and maybe they have been referred to your site by ChatGPT or other. They're in a very different boat than some other prospects that have hit your site from a knowledge perspective. So how do you create an experience on your website that acknowledges that and creates the right content and the right offers to get that prospect to move forward? So with that, let's dive in. Avishai, thank you so much for joining the show today. So I've been excited for this conversation for a lot of reasons. I love talking about websites. I love talking about something being called dead online, meaning if you're on LinkedIn and you see people say, oh, the website is dead because AI is taking over everything. But we probably will come to the conclusion that's probably not the case. But before we jump in, why don't you just introduce yourself and talk a little about what you're doing over there.
Thanks, Anna, for inviting me. Great chatting again. I'm Avishai Avi from Trendyman. We help B2B companies convert more of their anonymous visits into pipeline opportunities. We optimize experiences on the website, support buyer journeys, great partners with Sixth Sense. So I'm also really excited for this conversation too.
Great. And actually, this is completely irrelevant to the conversation. I'm going to ask anyway, where did the company name come from? I was looking at this for weeks. I'm like, where does that come from?
I just realized, you know, we love breaking things. We love disrupting. We love thinking things, doing things a bit different. So initially, that's where it came from. And it's always like, is that Trendyman? Is that trendy? And it's like, yeah, it's okay. Whatever. Whatever works for you. Yeah.
One of the things I want to talk about is, you know, there's this constant conversation about signals and third-party data. You're getting signals from here. You're getting signals from there, whether it's, you know, intent or it's job changes. You know, there's so many different things. One of the things that doesn't seem to get talked about a lot, maybe, or to some extent, is your own website and the vast amount of signals that you can get from there. And you said this really well. How do you become a better listener of those signals? So given you work with a ton of clients, you're seeing a lot of B2B websites. You talk a little bit about your view on the website as kind of the central repository of signals and how to better use them.
If we take a step back, why does it even matter? Why should we care about signals? And I think it boils down to our diminishing attention. We have very little attention, which is just getting shorter and shorter. And so marketers have less opportunities to capture that attention. And we need to use and we need to leverage every possible signal at our disposal. Otherwise, we're just wasting really valuable insight there. And, you know, the website, like you mentioned, it really is this great source of signals, of information. And also, it's a great platform for activation so that I can act on those signals and ingest them as well. And I think that combination makes it for such a great platform to learn, to listen, to engage, to converse with our market, and to create better experiences, better interactions. At the end of the day, we're still people buying from people, you know, and we are going to buy from people we trust, people who listen to us, people who care about what we care about, not what they want to sell. And I think this is really where working, for example, with Sixth Sense and connecting the various touch points, right? The website isn't just a standalone asset. It operates in this ecosystem. It's part of this motion, and it has to connect into those other signals as well.
Where do you think right now companies are, let's say, falling down or not doing the best job of listening? And as a result, what are some of the things that they're really missing out on that they could be really doing a better job of understanding?
I think that, you know, a lot of companies want to pitch, right? They want to sell. They want to push their agenda. I think there are a few things that they could be doing better. One is really understanding what these visitors are reading. And today with AI, we have a much better ability to process huge amounts of this information, of the journey, of what they're reading, to get more context of what they care about. So that's, I think, one primary signal that really is underutilized or almost really not being leveraged at all. That's definitely something that can help generate better conversations with them. The other signal that I would say is also underutilized is the source that they're coming from. And just to give two examples of how that can be leveraged. So let's say you're running a campaign on LinkedIn and you are targeting a specific persona. Once people from that audience, from that UTM, right, for that campaign land on your site, you have a good understanding of who they might be, right? So you can already start clustering them and tracking them as an audience, right? Maybe later you will also have account de-anonymization. Maybe they will self de-anonymize. They'll fill a form. But until that point, you still have some insight about who they are based on where they came from. So that's one thing. The other thing, for example, is LLM referred traffic. We'll talk about this a bit later, but we're seeing that people that come, or people from account companies that have an LLM, have ChatGPT, Perplexity in their journey, convert at much higher rates, 4.5 times more than those that didn't. It's not surprising, I think, when we think about it, because they're coming in more educated with more knowledge to your site. But I think it's really interesting to see the data itself really show that. But then it also asks the question, well, what can I infer about what they know about me? So they came in from an LLM. What does the LLM tell them about me? So what should I present forward? And so these are just some examples of these first party signals that are on your site, that just by better connecting them, you can generate significantly better results.
That's a great point. And I think LLM, we'll get into a whole piece on that. But a LinkedIn example is a really good one. You know, your platform can do personalization, you know, being one of them. In that situation, you knew the campaign, so you know the audience. So that's some information that's coming in. In addition to any number of other signals, how do you think about the personalization and really making those experiences based on what you know? And again, like we could talk about, you could personalize for intent, you can personalize for buying stage, but what are some of the things that you're seeing and recommending for your customers that maybe is a little bit different or is much more all-encompassing? And personalization, it's like, oh, you change the headline to say like, you know, hi, Bob, welcome to the website, or hey, Bob, you're in manufacturing. And that's all well and good, but you could take it a lot further, obviously.
Yeah, so we typically divide this into two levels, right? So we have what we call the page level, which is what I think most people typically think, or marketers think about when they think about personalization. It's changing an element in a page. So I'm taking an image, or I'm changing a title, or doing these things. It's kind of like a continuation of what, you know, the A-B testing was, right? So it's sort of that extension. That's the page level. The big challenge with page level is really it's hard to scale that, because you're not going to be able to personalize every single page on your site to different elements. So that's something that is good for certain instances. But the other part, or the other level dimension, is journey level, which is how do we know where to send them, where to lead them at every point in their journey? How do we create better journeys for them and do this at scale, do this automatically? And so that's kind of the first distinction between what we call page level and journey level. And I think within that, when we talk about personalization, it's basically contextual experiences at scale. And it starts with the ability to segment, to say, and this is especially true in B2B websites. Not all traffic is the same. You know, if we compare it to B2C websites, to e-commerce or publishers, well, you know, traffic is traffic. They're going to come in. You want them pretty much to read a lot of the same stuff. When you come to B2B, that segmentation is super critical, right? So if I have 6-10 segments and I know something about them, when they land on my website, I want to be able to serve them specific information that is relevant to their segment, to their industry, to their specific stage, right? If they're at the bottom of the funnel, I know they've already interacted. It's a different type of conversation that I'm going to have than if it was just somebody that was initially coming in. And when you think about it, I'm going to talk about the role of the website. The website is now stepping up from this just repository of, you know, pages and static information to being an active salesperson. Your website now has the role to actively engaging buyers and to have these multiple conversations, right? Not necessarily literal. It's not necessarily just through a chatbot or somebody coming in, but they have to support those different journeys because the buyers are independent. They're going to read on their own terms. They're going to come from the sources that they want. And when we talk about personalization, it's one aspect of having these meaningful contextual experiences, having the website be aware of who's coming in through all the signals that we have, and then understand what I want to tell them. What is the most important thing that I think they should know about us, about them, about the world, whatever, what to get them to a next touch point, as opposed to, hey, do you want to talk to sales? Hey, I just landed, right? I don't know who you are. I don't know why I should be interested in this. So this is how we're thinking about personalization as part of just structuring better interactions with our market, more effective go-to-market, essentially.
The distinction between page and journey level, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. So when you're thinking about a journey, right? And somebody is, like you mentioned, bottom of funnel, you know, sort of common things like, you know, instead of it being filling out a form for a demo, you're going to have somebody booked to someone's calendar. I mean, that's like the most simple sort of, you know, but what are some of the things that you're seeing? Are you really like somebody lands on the site, we know they're bottom of funnel based on whatever signal that we have, and we want to guide them either down a particular content path or we want them to go to certain pages. Like, how do you think about changing that journey? And like, what are kind of the levers you would pull?
So I think before we think about what we want to serve, we want to think about what are the assets that we have and how are we segmenting our assets in light of our ICPs. So for example, in that mapping stage, which is really kind of taking stock of what I have at hand before I go and create more material. And today it's very easy to create more content, not necessarily effective content, but I would say it starts with mapping the content that you already have to different segments, to different personas and saying, okay, for example, let's take a cybersecurity company and they're selling to automotive, they're selling to financial, they're selling to retail. Within that group, you also have a buying committee and that buying committee has different personas. And so you're starting to look at this matrix of pieces of content, for example, with specific case studies that are from a certain industry, but then I also have pieces of content that are relevant for a certain persona. And I personally think that people's roles sometimes are more important to them than the company they're at. You know, so if I'm a CISO at a certain company, I care about that regardless of the specific maybe company that I'm at, I care about certain things. And so you want to try and blend in the signals from a persona based, from an audience perspective, from a segment, and then look at your content and say, okay, which content would be most relevant for them or which offer? And that's kind of from top, middle. You asked about bottom of funnel, and bottom of funnel could be something that is really more tactical about, hey, here's a company very similar to your situation. Here's what they've seen. Out of all the things that we can serve you, this is the thing that we think could be most, maybe it could be a specific offer to engage with them on a specific subset of a product. You know, if it's an audit or a tool or something like that. So I think really is thinking about your assets in a different way than just a repository. But again, the segmentation, I think, is critical here. Segmenting your content, your assets, as well as your audiences. And then the job is really matching at different stages of the journey.
There's sort of these operational website programs and campaigns that are going on. They're sort of either a moment in time or they're very specific of like, okay, on this page for this type of person, I'm doing X. But a lot of this journey and sort of done that mapping that you discussed needs to become, right? And I'm stealing your own words from our conversation earlier, but sort of this always on approach. So can you talk a little bit about like how you move into like much more of a system and a workflow for building these things and having them kind of always running and adapting to just kind of what you describe with the mapping and so forth?
I think the way that I think about this is just finding a comparable from something we've, you know, as marketers have done always or since, you know, 20 years, for example, from email marketing, right? An email marketing automation that transitioned from a campaign motion, right? Think so I'm blasting my subscriber list with just an offer and then, you know, hoping for the best to a more systemized approach that says, I'm going to send something. I'm going to listen to signals. What are those signals in the email? Or are going to be open rates? Are going to be click-through rates? Are going to be all the follow-on? And then I'm going to then have those different motions that are going to be automated and going to come into play. We've always done that, or almost always, for quite a few years, we've done that in email. But when we're thinking about other activities, media campaigns or website engagements, that has stayed as kind of this campaign approach. That I got a group, I'm going to send them out stuff and then going to check it out, iterate and do things manually. And I think what we're seeing also from Sixth Sense platform with intelligent workflows and what we're building and integrating into that is really looking at these groups of accounts, of audiences, and trying to build those mechanisms that continuously move them forward and have this now self-learning capability that continuously iterates and understands what is working, what should I improve. For example, we in Trend even have orchestrations, which are essentially sets of offers for specific segments. And we continuously test them out to see which generates the highest uplift and continuously A/B test and split test between them so that you can maximize the uplift. Now, that's an always on motion in the sense that the marketing team now just has to create really good content and feed that in. So now your role, instead of managing campaigns, it is really creating valuable content, relevant contextual content for different audiences, for different ICPs, and then tracking it and looking. Now, you would need to change that. Let's say you're changing ICP. Great. You would need to create new workflows, stuff. But apart from that, you want to start building those highways through your different assets. And they need to be interconnected through your email, through your media campaigns, through your website, of course, down to the SDRs. That's an exciting shift that's happening now with the support of AI, but not just. I think it's also a mental shift that marketers need to start thinking about.
No, absolutely. It's a good example. All right. So AI, because we can't have an episode where we don't talk about AI. And you mentioned earlier LLM traffic, which again, there's a lot of data out there, or not a lot, a decent amount of data now talking about what you mentioned. The visitors are converting higher, which makes sense. Like you said, informed buyers. So we actually have some data on this. Our science and B2B research group has done a buyer experience report for a number of years. And one of the things that's come back even more so, I think, in the last year or so has been, like you talk about like buyer stage, right? The early stage, middle funnel, whatever. But sophistication of the buyer in the sense that the buying cycle they're in with you, there's a strong likelihood they've done it before in the category you're in, they bought from somebody else. So they're much more informed, not just necessarily about your product, which we'll get to on the LLM stuff, but they're informed about the category. Because I think a lot of content, a lot of approaches are sort of like introducing you as a company, but almost introducing the concept of what you do, maybe almost in a too much of a novice level, if that makes sense. Yeah, you're in this stage, but maybe you're also like, you're a super sophisticated buyer. You've evaluated 10 platforms and so forth. So where I'm going with that rant is, when thinking about better informed traffic from LLMs, what should you do differently? What kind of experiences should you create? And how should you show up on the website? And again, you know where they're coming from. You know that they're coming from ChatGPT, Perplexity, so forth. What would be some of the levers that you would pull to say, you know, let's create that experience specific for that traffic because they know they can convert higher. And if we do this right, they're going to convert even higher.
I think what we've seen is that, yeah, they come in, they come more educated, but they also come with a certain conception, right? A certain picture of who you are, of what you do based on what the LLM has told them. And I think if you think about where we were at a place, you go to a search engine, you ask a question, you get information. It is your job to convert information into knowledge. Now we've just leapfrogged and now we're getting knowledge. And we're taking this like the words from a living God, right? This is like, okay, so what they told us, that's true. And we're coming in with those concepts already baked in our minds. They could be true, they could be wrong, because this is how AI interpreted the content that we put out there or the content that lived out there, right? That's how it sees us. And that's what it told that buyer. Now, of course, we can check that, right? That's information that we can go to the LLM and we can ask it, what would you tell about this space, about us, about competitors and all that. But one big word of caution that I think this is one of the things that sometimes we still think in kind of the old word that you search about something and you get the response. There is a big difference in terms of who is asking. So if I'm asking the LLM something, it already knows my background. It knows who I am. It knows because of all of our history. So it's going to give me an answer that's tailored to me. And if somebody else from a different company with a different background would ask it, they would get a different answer. So what I would suggest is, first of all, asking the question from different perspectives, from different buyer lenses, because that would give you other answers. Then in turn, you could say, well, I need to mitigate those answers. Maybe I came up as having a disadvantage here, right? So the LLM thinks that I'm not that good here. And when that traffic comes into my site, I want to address that. I actually want to address that point, because if I don't, I let it linger, I'm going to get that baked in their head that, you know, maybe they're not good at this, or maybe they're good at that, or maybe I've already changed it, or maybe I've already improved in that, and the LLM doesn't know because their background is, you know, it's like 6 months ago or, you know, a year ago, which could be generation time, you know, in our day. So I would say is, first of all, understand how your brand appears through different lenses in the LLM and different LLMs, but ChatGPT is like 80% of the traffic. So I would just focus on that at the beginning, at least. And then you want to build experiences that, again, take into account. So maybe you're not completely, like you said, novice, you're in middle of funnel. You've already had those experiences. So let's start the conversation in more evolved stage, and let's address the pains that you are probably looking at coming in from, you know, knowing which company you're from, knowing, you know, which pages you've landed on. That's another signal. I came from LLM and I landed on a specific page through referral traffic, so I know which LLM they came from. I can address that. So there are definitely things we can optimize from the buyer experience side. We're trying to influence the buyer. Another conversation is, how do we influence the engine, right? How do we feed it the right things so that we build the right picture when people are asking about us?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It seems like there's the visibility in the LLM search now, right? And you certainly want to be there, but the visibility is getting trumped now, it seems, by accuracy. And again, like, if you've got buyers that are asking about you versus competitors, and it's coming back and it's just wrong, that's a much bigger problem than you just not coming back at all, I think, in some sense, right? So that's an area in terms of like finding those weak spots of either content or inaccurate content. And a lot of it is coming from other places, right? So in some cases, it can be trickier to address. But I think it's a really strong point that, okay, if you're seeing these weaknesses and or what's being mentioned as weaknesses and having that addressed on your site right from the get-go for those prospects, that's a really smart way to look at it. So
who's going to educate the LLM, right? So if you're not educating, your competitor is educating it, right? So
absolutely. So we have a question that we ask every guest, and it's, I did not tell this to you, so I'm giving it to you.
Oh, no.
Surprise. Sometime. Has nothing to do with the conversation today, but it's, what is the most ridiculous thing you've been asked to do in your career? And it could be good or bad. So ridiculous good is, you know, you got to work with, you know, NASA on a campaign. That was actually somebody, we got to answer that one. Ridiculous bad, you were told to do something that involves smuggling or a statute of limitations. That's the extreme, although we did get a couple answers. So
I don't know if this is the platform to confess to all
I think podcasts are admissible in court, but anything that comes to mind.
I think that one of the things that we were super thrilled is the ability to work with you guys. I think for us, that has been a very high point, and it's just elevated our ability to kind of think about the product and integrate and do that. So I think that's something that for me, is still something like, wow.
Flattery will get awesome. You far. No, I'm kidding.
But it's truly, truly exciting times. Bad stuff that we've had to do. Well, I'd have to think about that, but there were quite a few parties that I don't remember much of them. And in retrospect, I've probably done things that I shouldn't have, but they're not documented. So I'll deny them. No Coldplay concerts though. So at least.
Yeah. With that then, no Coldplay concerts. So that's good. Thanks so much for coming. I think some really different ways to think about, like, there's so much on social media, like the website is dead, or, you know, we're not catering to people anymore. We're catering to robots. I think it's clear that the website is very much alive. The website is even more important now. You just have to really think about the journey in a very different way. So really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure, Adam.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Revenue Makers. If you're looking for more info on how to stay on top of the latest marketing trends, check out our resources in the show notes and subscribe to the Secret Sauce monthly newsletter. You can do it at the bottom of every page at sixthsense.com. It's packed with practical tips and insights that can help you level up your marketing strategy. See you next week.